Well, Brother Moynihan said 50 years ago. I don't remember that. That's been too long ago for me. It's been a blessing to hear the singing tonight. It sure has. And these last two that sang, I was their mother and dad's pastor for years, and I'd have never have thought that Doug and Julie would ever produce something like that. And you just never know what can happen when two gets together. Which leads me to say you never know what happened if a church would get together. Amen. You think about that. I remember when Julie sat over here to my left and her feet would not even touch the floor. And was lost. I remember giving an illustration. Julie still got that nickel, hadn't you, Julie? And she was sitting there, two or three boys and girls on the front seat, and that's where Mom and Daddy told them I had to sit if they're going to sit together. And I made the illustration. I had a nickel in my pocket, and I asked which one of them wanted. I offered a couple of them boys out there wouldn't do it, and I got to Julie, and she reached out and got it. And I said, you fellas would have had that if you'd have believed it. And I said, that's the way you get salvation. They didn't believe I'd give it to them. That's the reason folks die and go to hell. Not because they killed somebody, because they don't believe in Jesus. Amen. Well, it is good to be here, and I don't say praise God for tabernacles. And even though some of these folks are fanning, I don't know what you'd do if it was didn't have air conditioning here. But I say praise God for the air conditioning. And I guess this is the second time I've been here since you put the air conditioning in. That's a blessing. It's a real blessing. I appreciate you doing that. Then, Brother Moynihan, thank you for asking us to come. I've been down this road a lot of times, and I told Brother Finney will be with you next week. And I told Brother Finney recently, I called him, and he's talked me about wanting me to come preach for him. And I said, Brother Finney, I'm kind of winding it down now. And I said, he's a young man. And I said to him, I said, Brother Finney, you'll find out. And some of you folks know Brother Charles, some of his fellow. Charles not that old yet, but some of you are. It's a whole lot easier to start than it was to quit. A whole lot easier. You better do what you can while you can. Come a time you're going to have to knock it out of gear, have to slow down. And I've had to do that through the years, and I'm 80 years old now. And But it's a joy to still be able to stand here. Brother, if you would, I'm through with this now. And the only reason I wore it up here to let you know I had a coat. And nevertheless, this camp meeting's been a blessing through the years, and I've come and gone a lot of times. If you would please, I want you to find your Bibles and then turn to the book of Matthew, if you would please. And while you're doing so, let's stand together and you can kind of rest a moment or two. And I'll try to be brief. I said I'll try to. I don't know what I'll get done, but I'll try to be brief as I possibly can. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 14 for the scripture tonight and look at verse 22. I'll talk to you a little bit tonight on it. It happens in the fourth watch. It happens in the fourth watch. Not too much going on 3 o'clock in the morning. Usually happens in your life when not much is going on. God finds you at a still time. I could tell you a lot of things about the fourth watch. Many of you preachers could do the same thing, and some of you saints could do the same. God comes in the stillness of the night. Birds have quit whistling now. Song's gone. Everything's still. Most of the folks has got drunk, too drunk to drive now, and everything's slowed down. Things quiet. And God said, I want to speak to you a little while. And I don't know about you, but I always know when I'm awakened at the fourth watch, I can always tell whether it's God or not. God knows how to get your attention at the fourth watch. Look, if you would, please, at verse 22, and I'm going to read a few verses, and I want to talk with you about that fourth watch. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him into the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Unusual way, but he comes. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. And they're saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Let me just pause right here. We've lost that today. Most of our churches lost the fear of God. The only thing they fear is cancer, heart attacks, bankruptcy, wrecks on the road, no fear of God. Could I remember, and I see some of your heads white as mine. I remember Brother Moneyham when they used to go by the church and now they come to do their meanings on the churchyard.
Oh my, that's right.
But I tell you, when Jesus comes on the scene, you see, we've learned how to do it.
Oh, Lord, help us.
We've absolutely learned how. I know how to get you stirred up tonight. I know some pulpit gestures I could do, and I can get you stirred up where I wouldn't have to preach much.
Well,
God may not be in 1,000 miles of it.
Listen.
May not be any fear whatsoever in your heart and life. But when God gets on the scene, fear comes.
Amen,
I didn't say when folks are shouting and jumping in the chandeliers. Usually when God comes, that's all over with.
Oh, Lord, listen.
Not a whole lot of shouting. Go when God really comes and fear falls.
Yes.
I thought it just that's just a little extra right there. Amen. Verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee, walking on the water. And he said, come. And Peter came down out of the ship and walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. There's a lot of difference between having a fear of the waves and the fear of God. A lot of difference. Began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when he had come to the ship, had come to come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Thank you. You can be seated. And the Lord will add his blessings to the reading and hearing of the Word of God to our good and to his glory. The 11 disciples now had boarded a ship. Most of these disciples understood a great deal about this little sea called the Sea of Galilee. They knew a great deal about it. Boats was not a strange thing to them. Peter, James, John, some of these others, no doubt had spent most of their life on that little troubled sea. They knew the danger when cool air blown down from Horeb on that little valley in there where sometimes the temperature would be hotter than it is here and cause terrible storms. They were aware of that. And they were not in unfamiliar territory. But God had told them to get on this ship. Now, he had stayed behind. He had just fed the 5,000. They were all excited about making a king out of him because all they wanted was a little bit of bread, you know, and somebody defeat the Romans, and that'd satisfy them. So the Lord put them on a boat, and he put these folks aside and said, now, I'm not come to be your bread king. He didn't say it in so many words, but that's his actions. I'm not going to come to be your bread king. I'm not come because, you see, I can't be a king like I ought to be to go to Calvary. And that's the reason a lot of folks leaving the blood in Calvary out of everything anymore. But our blessed Lord God said, now, I want you to get on this ship or this little boat, and I want you to go across They didn't mind that. I mean, even when the storm came up, not anything unusual. I mean, Peter had been out there before, I'm sure of that. Fisherman as he was, he had been in storms like that. This is going to be a little different. There's been some storms in your life and mine, but there comes that unique storm somewhere. That storm that sets aside every storm that you've been in. And this storm come up, they were not so much interested in getting that boat to the other side. It had got the place as interested in saving their hides. They're going down. I mean it's terrible. 3 o'clock in the morning. And I mean, they'd done everything they could to keep that boat upside, right side up. And I mean, this is a losing job, it seemed to them. Sure did. When they saw a shadow coming, right in the midst of that storm, out on that sea, they saw a shadow coming. Well, why? Why didn't they recognize that was Jesus? He's a miracle worker. He just fed them some bread, never been in the oven. He just fed them fish, never been in the water. I mean, it's a miracle worker. He's God. Why didn't they understand that? I'm going to tell you something, same reason that's difficult to find God in the storm. It's difficult. I mean, you go to the doctor tomorrow. The doctor gives you 3 months to live or less. It's difficult to find God. Oh, you'll find somebody to pray. But difficult to find God. See, God, if you're living for the Lord, God's the author of that storm. God is. You see, we've got the mentality through the years that if we get saved, everything's going to be very well, you know. If you'll just plant seed, you'll be all right down the road. That'll take care of all of it. That's television advertisement. Plant that seed. Health and wealth. You live as long as some of we have, you'll find out it's not all that. And you'll find out in the storm is when God does more in your life and the life of folks around you than any other time. Storms. Storms. But in that storm, he comes walking. You see, in the storm, You just can't go back to your last television program. You can't go to the last time you laid out of church and went to the... You name it. But you see, in that storm, it's difficult to find God. Because you see, your ears have been tuned to this world and seems to be when we get saved, everything's supposed to go fine. The Bible said, didn't promise us that, but it said, I'll tell you what, I will be with you. Right in the midst of that storm, 3 o'clock in the morning, he is there. Now, they didn't recognize him. They really didn't, but I want to tell you, they got down to the end of the road, and they found out radiation wasn't doing it. They found out that specialist is not getting the job done. They find out that life is going down, down, down. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. God walks in. God walks in. I heard a preacher. He said, just as he stepped out of the pulpit, he said, the preacher come, got me by the coattail and said, there's a man seems to be really upset. He's on the telephone, wants to talk with you. Mays Jackson said, I went in, picked up a telephone. Said, a fellow that I knew up in Ohio, preacher friend of mine, I'd preach for him. And he said, preacher, I just got news. I got 6 months to live. I mean, Brother Mays, you know I've stood in the pulpit, and I've talked about grace, God's grace. But I want to confess to you tonight, he said, I don't have that grace. I just don't have it. Said, Brother Mays, would you pray? Yeah, I get that grace. It was Paul to say this. There's not one scripture in the Bible that tells you to pray for grace. Grace is just there. God didn't say pray for Oscar. It's just right there. Grace is there. You don't have to look for grace. Grace right there. And that's the reason next time he called, he said grace. Grace, somehow or another, I ain't got dying grace. Then one night, Brother Mays said, I reached through the dark at a ringing phone. On the other end was a voice that was so weak I could hardly hear it. And it said, Brother Mays, grace just walked in. In your storm, when everything else has fallen, God comes walking on the sea. See, that's the only reason some of you have a fellowship with God, but God puts you in a storm. You have nowhere else to turn. You substituted everything. God said, that's me and you. Then, at the fourth watch, God came in. God came in. May I recognize that? Now, when God comes in the fourth watch, He's always got something unique that He wants to do. Now, you watch Peter's life. I mean, oh, he's not perfect. But it was not John that God said on the day of Pentecost, John, you preach. No, you would have thought it was eloquent, loving, tender-hearted, understanding John. No. He called old Peter. They got out of the boat. You see, when God gets ready to do something, He must do in your life to get your attention. Most of us, God don't get us still long enough to get our attention. God told Moses, just be still and know I'm God.
Amen, preacher.
That's right. I want to tell you something. You can take them guitars and banjos and them drums and all that junk's making so much noise, makes my eardrums, my eardrums shaking my ear. Get shut of that junk. Be still, know God's around.
That's all right.
You'd hear you ever get still in some of these churches, it'd go hog wild. God said, get still. That's why we go to church. That's why we close the doors. We get still before God. Let God do something in our life. God's got something in mind, but He's got to get your attention first. You see, God set a bush on fire, and the leaves wouldn't even wither to get Moses' attention. 40 years he hadn't heard from God. 40 years in on the backside of the desert. But suddenly God showed up. Now that bush, when He finally got Moses still, He said, Moses. Why, I'm dead. Thank God He understood Jesus. The blessed Lord God talking, understood His name. Understood His name. Well, when God gets you in the middle of the night, the fourth watch, God wants to do something in your life. There's some sitting here, sad to say, God's never met you at the fourth watch. You've never known what it is to be intimate with God. You know why? Brother Moynihan, 95% of the folks in the church today are living off of the overflow of somebody else.
Listen, Lord.
Only time they get blessed is when somebody else gets blessed and they get a little. Out of the cup.
Yes, sir.
Don't know what it is to be alone with God. Don't know what it is to meet with the Lord. Really don't know what it is to really be blessed of God. That's the reason reading your Bible becomes monotonous to you. Because God's not speaking to you. Because you've got so many cobwebs in your mind. God can't work through that. That's the fourth watch in the night. I hope it's somebody in this building that God's about ready to do something extraordinary with.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not sure. Brother Buchanan's in here somewhere. Didn't this camp meeting get started? And Brother Percy Ray had a tent meeting over here at George Hillbrand. I think that's right. I think that's right. And I appreciate it standing through these years.
Yes.
I really do. Thank God for what it's done. I don't tell you how many of you here today can remember when it used to change people's lives, just not camp meeting week, but all year round. You see, that's what God wants to do. God's not so interested in getting us together. Thank God for singing. I mean, we got to have it. Because he said we ought to have some songs and hymns and spiritual songs and make a melody in our heart toward God. We ought to do that. We ought to do that. That's not the main thing. Oh, let the word of God plow up furrows in our life.
Oh, Lord, preacher.
Let God speak to our hearts.
Yes.
And it'll last, I'm going to tell you what, when the music stops. You ever notice that? I mean, we Baptists will shout on about anything. As long as it's got a piano to get to our little music to it. I was somewhere recently, and it seems like about everywhere I go, they sing a song for me. Here's where all your blood now flows through my veins. I mean, they're shouting all over that place. I said, my God, there's not a one in here got roll your blood in their veins. And they're shouting, I'm shouting over error.
Huh?
I'm theologically wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't look at me like that. I know you shouted the last time. I know that. Folks, I'm just simply saying when God comes in that storm, he's wanting to do something extraordinary for your life. Extraordinary. I'm where I am tonight because God met me at the fourth watch. I wasn't about to quit, but I was about to change. I was about to change my directions of life. Boy, I look back now and see how. Boy, I'm done. I got a miracle working God. I don't tell you something better than every miracle you ever read in the Bible. It is the providential power of God. That's what I like. I like how God can put it together. Amen. Man, I looked at about 6-8 months and how God, took a jumbled up mess. And I don't know how God did it. It's a providential God. Knows exactly.
Sure. Yes.
So when God meets you in the middle of the night, he's going to do something extraordinary with you.
Amen, Doc.
Well, now, when God gets ready to do something for you, he does not promise you that there will not be some adversity in what he calls you to do. You see, most of us has the mentality that if God calls us and he gives us the directions what to do and we follow him by faith, smooth sailing. Let me back up just a minute. I believe this book that I hold in my hand. I got a King James Bible. It's not the 1611, but it's a King James Bible. It's not the New King James. It's my old-fashioned King. And I believe this book.
Amen.
I mean, I believe everything from Genesis to Revelation. I don't have a problem whatsoever. I do. I believe this book.
Amen.
And I read this book. My Bible said faith come up by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I believe that.
Sure.
But you know that's not what it's all about. I'm just like, listen, there's not a person in here, I mean, if you're saved, not a person, don't believe this Bible.
Right.
Now you hang on, don't leave till I get through now.
That's all right.
But here's what faith really is. God told Moses on the backside of the desert, he said, Moses, I want you to go lead my people. It wouldn't depend on Moses. It's not a covenant God made with Moses and said, if you'll be faithful, that's not it. God said, I'm going to do it. I don't care how unfaithful you may be. I don't care how much unbelief you are. I'm going to do it.
Amen. That's all right. Yes.
If I understand my Bible, there was not one Israelite, when Moses got to Egypt, not one Israelite ever heard God say, I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt.
Right.
You know what faith is? Believing what they didn't see.
Well, listen.
Believing what they didn't hear. But most of us, I didn't feel anything. Well, whoopity-doo.
Well.
If faith don't depend on the senses.
Listen.
Faith depends on the bare word of God.
Amen.
That's the reason some of you folks call a preacher for a pastor to be your leader. You're not interested. All you want him to do is preach to you while you make your own life.
Yes.
Huh?
Amen, preacher.
That's all folk want. Oh, we want somebody to lead. I doubt it. About time he got on your pet sin and told you you're gonna wreck if you didn't get off of it. Unless God, what business is that? He's the leader. God gave it to him. Yeah. God gave that to Moses, not to one of them.
Listen. Oh, Lord. Yes.
Well, let me say it. I'm about through. But I want you to notice. Peter was not out there to make a decision. God already made it for him. You see, he was out there to learn between faith and foolishness. But listen, this thing walking with God's not foolish. That's when he got out there, he said, Lord, command me. That's not foolish when God says to do it. Command me to come walk in thee on the water. You're not stepping out on foolishness. This is not taking a step in the dark. Is stepping in the light.
Yes.
And we got to determine, listen, we got to determine this thing of following God and by faith. You got to recognize that it's God saying it's not foolish.
Right.
Can you imagine these other 11 disciples on that boat and said, Peter, you know good and well, nobody walks on the water.
Listen.
And Peter said, bless God, that one is. He found out it was more safe on that water than it was in that boat.
That's right. I believe.
And he stepped out of there.
Sure.
I don't believe Peter took a couple of steps. I believe a walk on water means you made some progress. And I believe when he stepped out on that water and stopped walking, God said, somebody heard it. Somebody listens. Somebody is obedient. I'm going to tell you something. You're sitting right here this afternoon or tonight now. Sun's going down, getting a little dark. Hope it gets dark enough where you can't see your watch. But I'm going to tell you something. This thing is not a step in the dark. It's a step in the light.
Amen, preacher. Yes.
And God wants you to step out. Boy, I know it looks foolish. But if God ever commands you to do anything, I'll tell you, God's going to take care of that. And he said, when Peter stepped out of that water, I'm sure God smiled and said, somebody heard. You know, brother preacher, there may be somebody right here in this very room that God can wake you at the fourth watch in the morning.
Listen.
And you'll make a difference in this generation.
Listen.
You know, God's never changed the world by nations. He didn't do that with Israel.
Lord, listen.
He didn't. You know how God always changed how the world is affected? One birth.
Listen.
One birth.
Yeah, Doc.
Look, there's Moses out there. Glory to God, the Lamb for it. That's Moses, that little ark out there. The whole world depended upon that birth.
Yeah.
What happened? That little boy in that little box. Yeah. You read about him every day in the newspaper. Israel. See, God comes to you and speaks to you at the third watch.
Yes.
Get out of the boat.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, I know somebody said, well, there's a storm. Why didn't he get out? Well, I'll tell you what. If you look at that on the natural side, it's a whole lot safer to stay on that boat than it was to get in that water.
Yeah.
How many of you ever seen anybody walking on the water? Huh? Peter never had either.
Yeah.
On the natural side, Peter's safety is in that boat.
Right.
But Peter's saying in his own heart, I'll never walk on the water till I get out of here.
Yeah.
If you don't listen to the fourth call in the night, you're going to be satisfied where you are.
Yeah.
If you listen to that fourth call,
yeah,
or that fourth watch rather, you'll find God's come to minister to you.
Amen.
And he wants you to step out. So walking on water means to get out of the boat. I know Baptists pretty well. I've been a Baptist now for 73 years. I got saved and in a Baptist church, and I'll not go through all that. But I've been a Baptist for 73 years. Yeah. And I tell you, most of Baptists I know has got a comfort zone.
Oh my.
On Sunday morning, your comfort zone's between 11 and 12, and you're out past that, no comfort zone for you.
Well,
you done locked everything else out. I mean, you just locked God between 11 and 12, and we preachers are bad at that ourselves, I guess. But he found out he needed to hear the command of God.
Yes.
Now, that's what we need more than anything else. We need a word from God.
Right.
Not what we feel like. Listen, it's what God says.
Amen.
So he's ready to get out of that boat. Well, he chose to get out of the comfort zone. And that's where real joy comes. But that's when real trials come. Now, you can find joy in trials when you find out you're following God. Something real deep inside of Peter said, if you want to experience what real life is, step out on that water. And that is God in the midst of that night telling him, get out. Take that ball. I'm going to say this, and I'm about to close. I believe God's got something in store. Our world is in absolutely chaos tonight. Absolute chaos. And I know a lot of folks are spending time, you know, and wondering whatever change is going to be made and all that stuff, you know, and we get a new president, new direction. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Same crowd that's voted in the last three or four presidents are still around. Oh, they may be gone off of the scene. We pay them $500,000 every year, plus. But the same old crowds put them in, the same old crowds paying them all, still around. But in spite of all that, I believe there's some folks ready to get out of the boat.
Amen, Doc. Amen.
I believe some folks are dependent on one birth.
Oh, my.
That's Christmas. That one birth is the Son of God. Look unto him.
Yes.
But we like our comfort zone, don't we?
Oh, Lord, yes.
I mean, we hear these words quite often. Our church really don't do it this way. That's a comfort zone.
Listen.
That's a comfort zone. And God said before you ever get anything done, you don't have to get out of your comfort zone. In fact, let me just say this. You may have to jump the biggest part of your baptistic out of your life. I didn't say not become unscriptural. But you're going to have to cast a lot of things out. You just draw it down in your life because somebody else did it. I get so sick and tired. Folks are talking about, I wish we had that old time religion again.
Tell it, Doc. Tell it, Doc.
Well, who said it gone anywhere? Just because it's not in your life.
Listen.
We want to stay old fashioned. I don't. Bless God, I milked a cow on cold mornings and while she popped my head with a couple of bears in her tail. Amen. Slopped the hogs and they could still smell them when I got to school. Huh? I don't go back to old-fashioned time. Chopping wood and building fires in mama's old home cook stove. No, sir. I'd like to have some beans off of them stove, but I don't care about the stove. Amen. What we need to do is say, dear God, meet me at the fourth watch. While I'm quiet and still, oh God, meet me at the fourth watch. Peter got out of his comfort zone. What's your comfort zone tonight? I'll tell you what your comfort zone is, whatever you feel safe with. That's your comfort zone. You don't always feel comfortable walking by faith. Some difficult times. I'm reluctant to say this because I know most folks think I'm stupid anyhow. But at my age, we just laid the foundation of a $2 million building. It is mercy. It is mercy. Do you know, preacher, why in the world we do that? I had a visit in the fourth watch.
Amen.
That's the only answer I got.
That's all right. That's all right.
And it hadn't been smooth sailing. No. But he still meets me when I pray. Still walks in the study occasionally while I'm reading the book. And always touch. It's not comfortable. I could have walked out. Church that I pastored for 40 years, almost 40, I could have walked out. I could have said, I'm done now. All I'm going to do is run around a few places and preach some revival meetings, you know. I could have done that. But God came in the fourth watch. God came in the fourth watch. Let's stand. I don't know what you need to do before you leave here today. But I believe I let God do something in my life. How long has it been since God really talked to you? Oh, preacher, I read the Bible. I read the Bible all the time. Get what is it? I didn't say that. How long has it been since God really singled you out in the fourth watch of the night?
Oh, my.
You know the reason we don't have a whole lot of folks, preachers? I want you to listen closely now. The reason we don't have a whole lot of folks that's following us today, because we never had God to meet us in the fourth watch to tell him what to do. I mean, oh yeah, you got your outline, but you've never challenged your people. I mean, they don't have to walk by faith because all they need to do is look at a number on the wall. What we need to do is get out of our comfort zone. Preachers, we need to beg God, God, give me some direction from a church.
Amen.
Give me some direction from a people.
Yes, sir.
Without a vision, men perish. Preachers, listen, if you don't look ahead, your people can't, because God put you there as a leader. Whether you're doing it or not, God put you there as a leader.
Sure.
God's put your heart where your church ought to go. If you know anything about praying and finding God's will, I'd get at it.
Oh, Lord, get at it.
I just want to beat the bush, draw my sow, and draw my breath. I got some people out there God might want to use. Amen. I've lost four families in the last little while, ordained those men for preachers. That's hard to do. But I don't want to sit around on the stump, bless God, and have a bunch of preachers sit around on the front pew, telling bless God to get out here and knock on some doors and do something for God, and God will call you. Amen. You see, preachers got no leadership from God. Because you take a sleeping pill and you sleep by the fourth watch. When God wants to speak to you like, Father, you know what you want to do in these minutes of this service. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for deliverance. Thank you for the fourth watch in the night.
Yes.
Oh, God. Hard name, maybe, preacher. You said, come to me walking on the water. Get out of your comfort zone. That may be the very one who will turn many hearts toward God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.